and action. Use plus player one.
Oh, is it? I gotta say that?
Yes.
Public service announcement. If you're using opinions or other opinions.
Fuck that bullshit. They are my opinions. And my guests. No one else's. Remember, this show ain't for chitlins' ears. So listening discretion and viewing discretion is advised. This is a paranormal horror crime show. So the scenes and the sounds can be a little terrifying to those little ears and those little eyeballs. And of course, there's obviously cussing. I mean, it's me. This is for entertainment purposes and for you guys to listen with your ears. Consume the knowledge. And now, time for the show.
Exploring the paranormal perspective.
Welcome back to part two and the conclusion of my interview with Martha Hazard Decker.
I was like, can you feel it? I felt like a preacher, you know, can you feel it?
One of the chatters is singing this, or they're writing out the song, I went down in a burning ring of fire.
I was, but in a week, I'm going to be at his house for, I don't know, the fourth, fifth time or more doing more, because his house is extremely active.
Oh, wow.
So I've been over there. We've done some cleansings over there. And he had a house. It was a small wood frame house that actually had been moved to where it is from several miles away. And it was built in 1910, and it cost $10,000 because he found on the shiplap, this house cost $10,000, 1910.
Oh.
He also found signatures of the man who built the house, his father, and then also his son. And that shiplap, it's a huge house now. And the shiplap is used all over. He tried to keep as much of that. And the house ended up, he had to list the house for sale. The first initial activity was the man who built the house. So he would come in and go, hey, Mr. So-and-so, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. What do you think about this? And kind of tell him that, and I figured once he's got everything done, he'll probably go. He just wants to see what's, you know, happening to his house.
Yeah.
Well, he and his wife bought out an estate sale full of antiques.
Oh.
Man, and it'd been through several generations in the family, and all of that has filled the house. And he's had all, I mean, he has all kinds of activity, growls, I mean, you name it.
Wow.
He gave me a clock that was more of an art deco, but he was sitting there one day, and even though the back has been replaced with more modern stuff to make the clock work, he said the clock started, hands started going backwards. So there was another... Oh, you want me to take that?
I'll come by and get it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So we're going to be going to go over there. Deborah and Luann and I are going to be over there this coming weekend and another investigation on it. He had the house for sale. The house includes all the furniture. So if somebody wants to buy a haunted house in Sulphur Springs, Texas.
How much is it for?
I think it's down to about 600,000, between 500, 600, somewhere in there.
Wow.
It was listed and they ended up taking it, you know, down when that contract ran out and had to put it back up. His wife wants it sold. He really likes everything because he put all his heart and soul into it.
Yeah.
So many things are happening that, you know, when his family won't let the grandkids come over, things like that, you know, he doesn't like that.
Yeah.
But that's why you get everything. They get the whole house, the furniture, the whole kit and caboodle.
Wow. Oh, wow. Man, if I could afford it, I'd buy it.
so would I. But if somebody, wants to contact me, I can give them a contact to buy that house. That's what happened. People were coming to his house. and look in, or they come up and they turn around and leave right away. They didn't, they were feeling the
the energy that's in there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I just hope whoever does buy it keeps it intact and keeps all the stuff that's in it, because if they don't, then it's probably likely that that stuff won't, it won't remain.
Well, he'd be happy with that. sell all the furniture and everything, right? You know?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I know you are also doing, you're doing a CE5 this summer. A CE5, yeah. When is that going to be?
Well, don't have a set up date exactly yet, but we're going to do one with just some friends. Got some more friends that live close to me that have 35 acres or so. But there's probably over 1,000 acres around them that's all flat. A tornado came through years ago and just wiped out all the trees. So it's all wide open.
Wow.
And Henry is like, he goes by Henry, but it's like Christian Henry Mass, like M-A-A-S. He's amazing. He studied under two different shaman. He can communicate with the Akashic records. He can do, I mean, he can do so many things, and he's very quiet and soft-spoken and doesn't talk about this a lot.
Yeah.
So we're going to go do this, because he'll sit out there at night. He's got some really interesting videos of things going on in the sky or on the property, you know, at 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And kind of waiting for the mosquitoes to die down, because then I'll go over there with him and with it's Henry and Nancy and Henry, and go out there and watch the sky.
Oh,
so we're gonna
do
one. There's a group of people that wanna come that I know, and we're gonna bring them. But then we're gonna have another one sometime this summer that'll be bigger and be more open, where I'll have it out where people can, you know, a larger group can come and do the CE5 and see what happens.
That'll be fun. I bet you're looking forward to that one, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. We'll do the smaller one first, but then we'll do that big one.
Oh, you'll have to keep me informed on that one.
See what happens, because he also, because he watched Skinwalker Ranch and was watching, I don't know if you watched that or not, but there's one, 1.6 gigahertz, where you have a different sound that comes out.
Yeah.
And when things were going crazy over there, that's what they were picking up, the 1.6.
Oh, whoa.
Gigahertz, megahertz, whatever. Yeah, whatever gigahertz, megahertz. I don't remember which it is.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a recording of that, and he'll go put that on the speaker and just let that go and play out there.
Because
close neighbors, and just leave that play for, you know, a few hours or more. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And see what happens. And yeah.
Does he usually get something happening every time he does it?
Interestingly.
Does he
not every time, no? But a lot of times when he goes out, he does see things, and sometimes with his eyes, sometimes he and I, in fact, I've got the same thing that he has. His night vision is, what he looks through is about the size of a big phone, where he looks through, and you can enhance it. You can bring it closer. You make it brighter. You can, and you can use it in the daytime too. It adjusts for daytime.
Nice.
And, but you can record, you can grab snaps and you can record on that. So he's got some really interesting recordings that he got I don't know if it was the last time he did that. Been about a week since I talked to them, but he showed me those videos when I was over at their house the last time. And all these things that you see, like all these, you know, lights are coming in and changing colors, and they're dividing, and they're just all, I mean, we're talking multiple, not just way up in the sky, but down where it's like tree level. And
right.
And it's probably the most activity that he has seen.
Oh, wow.
Out there.
Cool. Well, I know you've already done a couple of books, The Paranormal Profiling and the one on the Hinsdale House.
On the Hill House.
I mean, the Hill House, not Hill. I'm thinking of Daniel Klass. No, the Hill House. Yes.
They both start with H-I.
Right. And it's so funny because I'll get them mixed up every time.
Yeah, the Haunted Hill House in Mineral Wells. I've done one book. It's a series. Hopefully this year we'll get the second book done.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy and I will work on that. Kathy and Sonny Estes are the owners. And that one is going to be the murder book.
Oh.
The first book has some history. It has a, you know, it's more general with different things in there, the on what's going on in the house and some people's experiences. This one will be on the murders and the natural deaths that have happened on the property and the property next door too.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm looking forward to those.
And then you have Sam Bass with a hill behind him. They own almost all the way up to the top. That's one of the places that people say that Sam Bass, when he stole the gold, hid it on that property, which is on their property now too.
And it's never been found, has it?
No, that part hasn't, because it was several locations, and this was one of them. And Beyond Oak Island did an episode at the house, and they want to come back and get up on the hill with some big equipment and check some of the caves, because they're really hard to get to now. You know, this was almost 100 years ago. So, and they want to do that.
Now, tell everybody what your relation is to the house, the Hill House.
Well, I went out initially with Maria, the friend psychic with me. They were having an event when they bought the house. They bought it in May, and that spring. I've had it 5 years, and I met them, and so they put, like when they do tours, they'll put somebody, almost like a docent, in each room. And then they take small groups, you know, about five or six or so, and they go room, you know, they go room to room. So she put me in the scratch room, and she was telling me the only history she had at that time was what Phil Kirchhoff, who owned the house before them, had it up for sale. And he is actually an archaeologist, and he got a archaeological park out in Mineral Wells now, because they have found bones of dinosaur out there.
Wow, cool.
He was at the point where he wasn't going into the house. Paranormal groups could investigate. He'd meet them at the driveway and hand them the keys, because he had one night that he thought he was going to die in the house, and that was it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So he had a trailer camper in the back, and Kathy and Sonny have one too, that he would stay in when somebody was there. But in the book I have now, there's a picture of the shadow man. There's two shadow men. One shadow man or shadow figure is not man, and it's ancient. And then you have the one that was in the house, and they had all the rooms have the names that they had when Phil had it. You know, they kept that, but then they started doing deep research on the house and the history. And they have actually a historian, Donna McCauley, who has done a lot of the research. She's a researcher, or she's the history historian for Parker County and for the city of Weatherford. So we've brought, you know, so they've been able to pull up documents, death certificates, and different things like that for all the stuff, you know, a lot of the stuff that's told. So there's documentation with the house. But, you know, so I went into that room, and she goes, oh, they've had 75 scratches in that room, and I'm being polite. And I just, but in my head, I'm like rolling my eyes, like, yeah, sure, 75. And so I was in that room that night. That was my introduction to the house. And I watched, well, there were at least two dozen people who went into that room and left with scratches. Ooh. And out of that, I could say positively, at least a dozen of them were in a position where I could see if they had scratched themselves, you know, and said, oh, look at this. And scratches. I mean, I've in the house. I've, you know, I hear audible stuff. I've gotten EVPs. I've had sea spirits. The piano's played. Doors have opened. Doors have closed when I've been in there. Toby, who is, they're thinking possibly demonic, but like a low level, almost like a gin type level, real low level. Toby is there. He was allegedly called there by the previous, not by Phil, but the people that lived in the house, one of the teenage daughters, they had were doing like occult practicing and stuff in that house for about 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And there was a murder in the house. It's still open.
So it's a cold case?
Yeah, there's a cold case. So they've had the house 5 years, so it's about a 15-year-old cold case.
Oh, wow.
At the house. So, you know, through all this time, I mean, I got to know them really, really well. And this house, I have spent more nights alone in that house than anybody has. Paranormal teams run out in the middle of the night. Or they go in the kitchen and they sleep under the kitchen table. And so Kathy and Sonny stay in their camper when people are there, you know. Now they wouldn't have to do that if I was there, you know. If there's certain people that have been there and they know and they trust, they just, because they don't live there, they go home, they stay home. But when it's some other groups or people they don't know, they're there. And but they have all kinds of equipment because people can rent the house for the night. But they provide all this equipment. They provide snacks and drinks. And in the morning, somebody goes and gets fancy donuts for them. And Sonny had gone to get donuts. And I was there that I had spent the night there in the camper with them. And he came in laughing because the team, all male team now too, they were all sleeping out on the front porch.
All male team sleeping on the front porch. They were that scared.
Had another team like that. There was another room that had been a three-sided outside porch that they enclosed and made it into another bedroom and put a bathroom in there. And everybody thought that was the safe room. And there was another group of guys, big guys too, that were staying in that room. They were all piled in the bed, some on the floor. They thought it was a safe space.
Oh my gosh.
People have driven up to the house because you drive up and you park in the back. And they've gone that far and they won't get out of the cars. They turn around, and they leave.
Oh my. I think I need to grab my crew.
There is always activity. And some of them go, well, I didn't see anything happen. Well, if you go to YouTube and you put like girl jerked off bed, you will find the video of the girl they were doing, because Kathy does a downstairs tour and talks about the history. So they were in Joshua's room and she was sitting, you know, kind of sitting on the bed on the back against the headboard. And all of a sudden she and her husband or boyfriend were kind of wannabe Satanists at the time they came to the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole tattoos and, but I will tell you, by the time they left, they had Kathy saying prayers and Kathy will blesses everybody and their vehicles before they leave. If they
let
her.
Nice.
Because otherwise some people, when they don't, things follow them home or things happen sometimes. But so they're in there and then she's telling about some of the history, the things that have gone on with that room. And, all of a sudden, she gets jerked off so fast you can hardly—I mean, it's so fast you barely see her. She gets pulled so fast.
Oh my gosh!
She gets up and she flies out of that room. And then later on, her boyfriend came in there like, "Oh, you want to pick on girls and blah blah." Oh. He pretty much got punched into the wall.
Wow!
He got stuck and hit the wall. Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
But so you know, so people see that and they think, "Well, that happens all the time." Well, that's the only time.
Well,
that
yeah,
that's ever happened.
Well, you know, they were provoking.
Like that, that just don't happen. A friend of mine, Greg Lawson, he's written several books like Detecting the Paranormal, and he's with the Austin Sheriff's Department. He's an investigator in that Travis County. I met him before he even started speaking at conferences. His first book he did, I was speaking at a conference in Austin, and he has a book that looks like a government book, and it's all about the care of zombies.
What?
Yeah, he made it look like a government handbook on what to do. You know, it was like the advocacy for the zombies. Do you know there are people that think that book, thought that book was real?
Oh my gosh.
But, you know, so Greg travels the world. Greg has stayed like in Dracula's castle, he and his wife, and
lucky.
He's been a lot of places. He spent one night in a haunted Hill House, one night. And that night he was getting pebbles thrown at him from upstairs.
Oh, and my gosh.
Glass breaking all night long, like windows or collectibles. And so he was chasing. And he had his canine with him when he did that, nice. Because they went out to do some cadaver, because we think there's some people buried on the property.
Oh, gosh.
So he took his dog, but his dog, 5 years later, his dog still has PTSD from that house. And Greg has said he will go back to the house, but he will never spend the night alone in that house ever again.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Now,
and then there was I was there one night with either Parker County or Palo Pinto County deputy came in, who's kind of a sensitive, and somebody told her to come over, that there was an event going on.
Yeah.
And so she had things happen to her in the house, and we had kind of talked to her about some ways, because she's sensitive and empath type thing, on how to control it and all this sort of stuff. But, and there was probably 100 people lined up outside to get into the house, because it was a tour thing like I talked about.
Yeah.
And as she's driving away, everybody that was outside could hear the pebbles hitting her car as she's driving away, being thrown at her.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And then there's been other law enforcement, the same type things happen. But I don't know why necessarily that hasn't happened to me. But I also have over 20 years of working crimes against children.
Yeah.
And it's possible, because there's children in the house that were murdered.
Yeah.
That, and it's funny to say it, but it's like Toby looks after the house, and some of the spirits, like, if you're going to steal something, Toby may end up at your house, and you don't want that. And
wait.
I have been talking at
the spirit's name is Toby.
Toby, that's what the people who lived there that were the practicing the occult, they named him Toby. And they say that he was summoned through a Ouija board. He stays in the house, but sometimes he doesn't, because last couple of years, when I'm doing a conference and I'm talking about Toby, all of a sudden, Toby's there. I can just feel Toby. I know what Toby feels like.
Oh, the only reason I asked the name is because there's a little spirit of a boy here whose name is Toby.
You got that. And there's supposed to also be a little child named Toby that we don't know anything about at the house. So, you know, sometimes you know, is it or isn't it? Like, Toby's here right now because we're talking about Toby. I can feel he's like right over here. Behind me. So you want to hi, Toby, growl so everybody can hear you. Yes.
You should. You totally should do it.
If you watch, they do. You know, they do a lot of Facebook Live, and they also have security cameras that catch Toby's growl or his hiss, and it's the same. It's almost. Sounds mechanical almost, but it's Toby, because you can hear that, whether it's on an EVP or you hear it. I was Nick Groff was there doing his Death Walker series.
Yeah.
And I think he's supposed to come back and do another one. So I was there for an interview for that show. And while we're doing that, we're standing in the living room and the scratch room is behind us and we have all the doors open. And near the end of the interview, and this isn't on the first episode he did from the house. He doesn't really have any much of the interviews at all on that, but you could hear Toby big time. I was talking about Toby. Nick's eyes go big and bug out. And he looks at his cousin who was a cameraman. It's like, and I go, that's Toby.
Don't worry about it. He's just trying to get your attention. He wants to be on TV.
Yeah, you know, he was there for several days. And the first night he went, something kept telling him, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. And he made it through one night. But after that, he went to the hotel. He couldn't stay the night in the house.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it just something that doesn't like men in particular? Or is it like most people that go there can't stay?
Well, I don't know. I've had, I mean, Toby at one point reminded me of a child. I was asleep. I sleep in the axe room, which is right at, and the door is right at the foot of the stairs and right at the front door. And I leave that door open so I can hear upstairs and I can hear into the living room. So I'll hear the regular, you know, stuff that just goes on. That's just every night kind of stuff. You know, you got your residual.
Yeah.
You'll hear people like a party. You'll hear them going up and down the stairs. And so one night I was asleep and I woke up to Toby's growl. It woke me up, but
oh my!
I never opened my eyes. I never acknowledged it. I just went back to sleep. It's like, yeah, so what? So several months later, I was in the axe room and I was by myself and I go to lay down and I'm still wide awake. And I just lay down and closed my eyes for a second. And all of a sudden, I swear, if I'd opened my eyes, we would have been nose to nose.
Oh.
If he has a nose, was growling right there real loud, like you could feel spittle and wind kind of thing from somebody.
Oh, my God.
I didn't react. I kept my eyes closed and I just kind of rolled over and ignored it. You know, it was more, it went from the little to bigger, right?
Yeah.
So when I was writing the book, I spent 3 days at the house. But I wasn't doing it to investigate. I was doing it to just do the normal stuff. Like I was living there and just see what, you know, happens when you live in the house. Well, that night I had just turned off the TV. I had just shut my computer, absolutely open and relaxed. And all of a sudden from upstairs, I thought the neighbors heard. It was so loud, the loudest combo of a roar, hiss, scream, you name it, just vibrated the house. It was so loud.
Wow.
So that kind of took me back a little. You know, it startled me a little. So I go to the door, the kitchen door, and I look up there and I go, and I yelled up there, I go, yeah, Toby, I heard that. So what? I kind of just like, you know, what do you want? But the adrenaline is going because I was startled. So
right.
I had just been texting Kathy. So okay, I'm going to go sit down on the front porch for, you know, for a little bit, calm down. And as I did, I triggered the security camera. Only the security cameras have the audio. There's a lot of other cameras that catch the, you know, the video. And so as I'm unlocking all the locks that were on the door to go out, talking to Kathy, Sonny got his thing from, you know, triggering that camera, right? And it's the EVP said, look, Toby made her turn red. He'll get her later.
Oh, wow. I got chill bumps off of that one.
That kind of scared them. So they called Julie and Ryan. And Ryan actually goes over there with people that want an investigator, but they're just a few minutes away. So they came over because they were afraid something was going to happen to me.
Right.
And it's like, I'll be fine. But they sent them over. And then Ryan's biggest disappointment was, go to sleep. You can't investigate. Nope, I don't want to change the dynamics in the house. You know, I didn't want to, which was killing him back then. And because all he wanted was to get a scratch in the house at that time. But he's, you know, now he's one of the investigators over there that they'll call in and he'll get paid to investigate with somebody.
Oh,
you know,
sweet.
I'll go over there. Maria will do. There's several of us that they can do that with.
Yeah.
But,
well, how do they?
And then they left.
Uh-huh.
And so they left. And so the next morning I noticed up in the pull off was actually in Jacob's room. Upstairs in Joshua's room is a door into the back area that, because that used to be a room that was all still open with the attic.
Mm-hmm.
And that door stays closed. It doesn't latch, but you can jump around. You can bang on the wall. You can do all this. and there's no air circulation in there, and it will not open.
Hey, this is Shauna. I'll be right back after this commercial break.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hey guys, it's Johnny Hauser here. I'm in the attic of the Velisca Axe murder house. Stuff's getting weird. Skulls creeping me out. I just wanted to take a second to tell you my buddy, my BFF, my bestie, Shauna's got a new podcast out. It's called Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. She's going to be talking about monsters, mysteries, aliens, ghosts, true crime, paranormal, everything that's interesting. You know, you need to listen to it. Para-X Radio Network, 8 p.m. Central Time, Wednesdays. Tune in.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and are reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
Hey, this is Shauna. Welcome back.
Oh.
And it had been closed, so I noticed on the camera that it was open. So I go, well, I guess I'm going to go up there and you know, shut the door. So I go up there, and as I do, you pass the room that's like Toby's room. And so I look in there and go, hey, was that you, Toby, last night? Something along that line. And they got an EVP right away that says, yep.
Oh, nice. I love those quick responses like that on EVPs.
I know, yep. And then when I go into Joshua's room and I shut the door and I come back out. And after watching it several times, because when I got downstairs, it was open again. So I went and played back, and then, you know, and then I recorded from, you know, their cameras. It happened. But when you look at it and don't look, focus on what I'm doing, you look at the background, you see three shadows come into the room with me. Uh-huh. I'm in this house alone. And then when I turn around and I leave, you see the three shadows follow.
Oh my gosh. What that how'd that make you feel?
Like, cool.
Yeah, because you kind of get that feeling of aggression if you have something. I mean, that's just my personal experience with a spirit. Well, that I felt like it wanted to push me down the stairs.
Yeah, and it was there's been people in that house that something's tried to push them down the stairs.
Oh, gosh.
There was one night I was actually in one of the bathrooms in the middle part of the house. Everybody was outside.
Right.
But it was a small group of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear them coming in, hollering, you're like, are you okay, Martha? They're doing all this, Martha, Martha. And I'm hollering back at them, you know, I'm good, I'm sitting here. And they never heard me. They heard what sounded like I fell down the stairs. It was so loud. They came in expecting to find me at the bottom of the stairs, and I never heard that sound, and they never heard me yelling.
Oh, my. So it was blocking you.
Yeah.
Toby, you think it was Toby blocking you or something else?
No, they've got some other things. They've got something over there that's not really nice, and you don't want to say his name, and other people don't need to know his name. He's almost like he was an enforcer. Friend of mine, Kat Lang, was telling me about the enforcer. And I had already felt a different presence over there that was like really heavy.
Yeah.
And she described what some other people had said they had seen at the house, you know, and around, you know, that time. And it was a new thing. Because he comes in, he's got like biker boots on. He's got the long, like, trench coat. He's got the long hair. And he's on there, doesn't want people to. And Cat said he could hurt people. He could make them sick. And ever since, you know, I had already felt him there. But after that, and I told Kathy and Sonny about that, people started getting sick upstairs sometimes. But it's like, we think he was an enforcer for a gang or, you know, mafia, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Enforcer, go break your legs.
Yeah.
Kind of guy. Yeah.
Wow.
And he doesn't want to be noticed in the house. And if you call him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes him sick.
Jeez. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Yeah, well, after one night I got bit and scratched, and I right after that, it was another event. I had about 90 minutes of missing time.
Oh, you had a time lapse?
Yes, I did. And it's like, I finally told Kathy, well, why didn't y'all like come shake me or something? They all went in. I don't know what kind of event it was, but there was a group of us in there, you know, after the event, the ones that are staying for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And she came in to get me. I was in the shadow man ring, and that's where I got the scratch and the bite.
Oh,
and I didn't notice the scratch. I'd been outside, and I thought it was water. And I go do this kind of thing. I go, oh, that's not water. I had blood dripping all the way down my arm.
Oh,
like I'd
my.
Taken a fingernail and just peeled the spot. And then a couple days later, when I was outside and the sun hit me, there was a perfect little circle, you know, around it, bite marks. So it wasn't like a human bite looking. It was with like razor sharp teeth, and it was all indentions around. I mean, the whole thing was indented into my skin. It didn't break the skin, but it was still there several days later.
Wow.
So I'm in this room, and Kathy said, hey, when she said, she went in there and said, hey, come on in. You know, we're all in here. We're going to do something. Come on. And then they all just watched me for 90 minutes in that room.
Oh my gosh.
I had my phone, and I don't really mess with my phone when we're, you know, when we're doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Who knows where it might be. But then I was just sitting there with my phone the whole time, just staring at it. And for me, it's like everybody went out and into the kitchen. I went out in the kitchen, and it's like, no, you didn't. And it's like, well, why didn't you come shake me if I was in, like, in a trance for 90 minutes?
Right? So, oh, my gosh. Wow.
So for me, there's no memory of that. It was at all. And I didn't believe them at first. It's like, oh, you're making that up.
Oh, well, that can get scary when stuff like that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been people that have come in, and when Portals to Hell filmed an episode there, they brought in a LIDAR and just did one area of the property, and she wants the whole property done, and found three areas that there might be something, because the unsolved murder, one of the people who lived at the house in an interview with me, and even talking to Kathy, because I did an interview for the first book, and most of that interview is in the book, told me that how she was, you know, the unsolved one, how she was but that she was murdered, and that she was cut up into, you know, pieces, and some pieces, but it might have been her, it might have been Candace that was over there, not the other one, because they found, about a year later, they found most of her bones in a pasture.
Oh my God.
And, you know, like, I didn't find, you know, the others, because animals scavenge, so there's some day somebody's going to find a, you know, a skull minus a jaw, because they have or a jaw, or they'll find some parts like that for her. But the other one, Candace, her boyfriend's actually in prison, admitted to killing her, and they were friends with the people in the house. Refuses to say where she is buried because he thinks she was pregnant at the time. And the person that I interviewed said that they buried her in three metal boxes, you know, 8 feet deep.
My God. Wow.
So, Kathy actually had somebody come in with an excavator, but it was a small one, and it could really only go to about 6 feet. But I was told the story years ago, because they were high on meth or something, they did that. But I don't know. In this county where I worked, I dealt with a lot of people, you know, on meth and everything. And usually that doesn't, they don't go do things like dig 8 foot deep holes.
Yeah.
You know, but so she got that, and we found a couple of things that could have been, but they were like one giant piece of metal that was maybe part of a wheel 100 years ago or something. Right. And we found a few things like that. But we've also, she also had the cadaver dogs, a lady named Vi, who works with law enforcement, and actually found her in the pasture with her dogs, was out there. She came out there at the request of the constable, and they did a search, and it kept going. The dog kept going to an area that was near where they dug, but you know, you could be a half inch away from what it was and you'd miss it. They dug it as deep as they could, and they couldn't get any deeper with that excavator. But the dog, and the constable didn't want, it's like, he just didn't want to, the couple areas that the dog hit, didn't really want to mess with it, which was kind of odd.
That is odd.
And so, you know, we're still working with, you know, she's still working with getting some stuff to come in. And there may also be a graveyard on the property as well. An old one.
Well,
well, not only that,
this gets interesting.
People are seeing this giant, all they describe it as a giant black wolf that comes down the hill, or, you know, they call it mountain out there. They'll be outside if they're staying at night, you know, they're outside smoking, you know, whatever, hanging out. And this thing just comes out of the woods, and it like chases, they all run back in. I've seen video of, grown guys like screaming, and they're running as fast as they can that can get in. And you can hear some sounds coming in behind them.
But you don't see it. Wow.
No, they do see it.
They do see it.
Yeah, I like to see it. Like it's a giant, giant black wolf. So it's almost like, is this a shapeshifter, a skinwalker? This house, which is why I'm doing, end up had to do the series, because there's so many things with this house.
Yeah.
That it's like the more you dig, the more you find.
It just keeps
on and on and on. and there's so much, and there's always activity in the house, always.
Now, do they have is there a website or something that where people can go if they want to? Can people stay there, like rent it or whatever?
They can rent the place for a night, a week, or, you know, whatever. Yeah, it's hauntedhillhouse.com. It's real simple.
Nice.
And they can find them on Facebook, and because they do a lot of live feeds. And they do, a lot of times they do exit interviews with the people that make it through the night.
Do they have cameras up in the house and everything, or?
Yeah, there's over 22 cameras in the house.
Nice.
So all the rooms but the bathrooms have cameras. The security cameras have the audio.
Now, are they willing to let investigators have that for evidence review or anything, or?
Yeah. And they show them, because you can go back in there and you can, you know, that's how I got my stuff. You can go back in there because the command center is in the kitchen, and that's where all the where everything's set up. Some people come and they only stay in the kitchen and watch the cameras all night long.
Well, that's not really investigating it. I mean, it is, but it's not.
You know, some people will go in and they'll set up cameras and different things, but then they want to just leave the environment as it is, and they just sit in there. Also, in a room they call the carousel room, they have a lot of dolls hanging from the rafters in that one room. But there's all the fireplaces in the house are fake. This one is like a big fireplace, and it actually goes all the way upstairs, the second floor. And it was open when they bought the house. So they got that. So they had, you know, they covered it up. But they found bottles and things in these hidey holes, because this was a speakeasy. It's been a makeshift hospital. And there's a tunnel between it and the Baker Hotel.
What?
And, there's a bunch of tunnels from the Baker Hotel They're right next to the church, which is across from their catty corner to the Baker Hotel. Yeah. So could go over there when they, the people that would go, you had all kinds of, you know, famous people, people with history and everything that would stay at the Baker while it was open, but they could go over there for the brothel because during Prohibition, it was a brothel.
Yeah.
In the speakeasy. But it wasn't until a couple months ago they really realized how big those cubby holes were.
Yeah.
The cubby holes are about halfway up. So it kind of tells you how much space is between both floors.
Uh-huh.
In some areas, the cubby holes, there's one on each side. They're so big, you could put a twin size mattress in there. And I'm, 5'5". I could stand up in it.
Oh, my.
I could literally stand up.
Wow.
And nobody has ever stayed in those cubby holes.
Is it just like really bad negative energy in those holes or?
Well, nobody's ever stayed in the holes. Nobody's really investigated those cubby holes. They talked about putting some mattresses up there. And I go, but then they need to put, a ladder over there that people can climb up safely to get up there. But they can bring their own sleeping bag and climb up there and stay in there.
Yeah.
Or they could sit in there and do an investigation in the cubby hole.
That might be something. Yeah. I got my wheels turning. I'm thinking of a day that we.
Well, there's two of the original wells in Mineral Wells on their property. One of them, somebody, at least they know, there was a cowboy that was supposedly drunk that fell in one, drowned, or got pushed in with a fight or something. Of course, they pulled him out.
Wow. Man, this house is so interesting. You have had such a great, interesting life. Especially with this house.
Well, wait till next year. I think I'm going to do it next year. I might wait 11 years, but I turn 70 next year.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to go do a skydive, a tandem skydive. That's on my plans to go do.
Ooh, I don't even want to do that.
And I'm afraid of heights.
Me too. I understand completely.
But yeah, I just haven't decided to do it then or wait till I turn 80 and do it.
I would probably wait till 80.
Either way, yeah.
My luck, I would end up coming out of that plane and that parachute's not coming up. And well, that's it.
Well, I go, I lived an interesting life. I'm good.
You have. And if anybody wants to reach out to you to interview you again, because I'm probably going to have you back on because there's more.
I would love that. Yeah. Because
I didn't even realize we've been on an extra 40 minutes. And I haven't even realized it. I was looking at it and I was like, oh, my gosh, I told her an hour.
It's Sunday. I don't have anything to do today.
But your stories have just been so interesting that I was just like listening in. But yeah, this house, I'm rearing up. I want to go. Maybe I can talk Adrian to go and Tina.
I have talked to them about that. I've talked to them about going to the house. Now, see, because I'm always up, speaking at Little Rock at the conference, right?
Yep.
And we've gone to Board Camp Crystal Mine together, too. After the event, like on the way home, we've gone by there. But we were just looking for crystals then.
Yeah.
And saying, hi, because Orville and Cheryl were speakers for a few years over there. At
nice.
The event.
So, I'll see you at the event because I'm going to be there too.
Yeah, I know, and I really enjoy going to the Little Rock one.
Oh yeah,
And you know, and what was so funny, because Adrian and Tina brought Keith H this last time. And of course, I've known Keith for a lot. I've known him for a long time now. He's probably at least 13 years or so. But when I was up there years ago with Maria, we're both friends with the Booth brothers.
Yeah, and Chris and Philip.
And so we were up there for the Louisville one that time. Didn't have a booth. We weren't speaking, doing anything. But when they would go speak, we were over there taking care of the booth. People start calling us the Booth sisters. But she's more like the Booth mother.
Yeah.
But so, yes, see, Aaron Houdini was there. And you know, a bunch of, there was something that happened that year. Aaron, what I learned about Aaron Houdini is sometimes I get what he's trying to say, but he doesn't say it in a good way. So it comes across, you know, it doesn't come across the way he's trying to say it.
Yeah.
But he was over there and he had done stuff like he had done the get out of the straight jacket and where he dislocates his shoulder. And, you know, and so Aaron had done all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking to, well, the three of us, and then Keith, the person Keith married, and I don't know who else was around. Yeah, Robin, that's it. And all he says to them is like, "Man, Martha, I love her forever." And it's like, "Well, that's cool, but why?" He said, "Because you put Aaron Houdini on the ground." I don't even remember the event, but it was one of those, like the law enforcement.
Yeah.
I said, "Really? I did?" But I kind of remember there was something. He said, "Man, when you did that, that was it. You're just gold."
Oh, gosh. Did you hurt him?
Probably. You know,
things like that
on the ground, yeah, ache a little bit.
Yeah,
I know.
To get the wind knocked out of you.
And I haven't done that in a long time.
Oh, God. It's like riding a bike, though. Somebody comes up behind you, you just go boom. Oh, dude, don't sneak up on me now.
Yeah, well, there were some things we did back in the 80s in law enforcement that were really, it would be really bad now if you got caught doing it.
I can imagine.
You know, back in the 80s, yeah, it was so much different. And I got to watch everything change.
Yeah.
When I was in the 80s, it was one department. I was the only female in the county. And then when I went with the department that I actually retired from, I was still in between. I was a journalist, went back to my journalism, and I had been doing that before in my photography. There were two of us in the county. She was a deputy. And then when I made sergeant, which was fairly quick, she was sergeant. Then by the time I retired, she was captain and over the drug task force. And I was the assistant chief of police. And there were a lot of female officers around. By then, it was like you just really got to see the change.
Oh, right. It's changed so much since my dad was in, and it's amazing the crap that they still have to go through. I mean, they have to go through more crap now than they had to worry about back then. And not all police officers are bad, y'all.
Most of them are not.
No,
you know,
you just get those few bad apples, just like you do in anything. You got the bad apples in the paranormal community. You got the bad apples in the fire department. You got the bad apples in the doctor's offices.
So, I have people that still come up to me, you know, and I retired in 07. I was there 15 years, that say they wish I was still there. And I had some people who, I got to know. Every county has a family where everybody goes to jail all the time for fighting and drinking and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we had one guy out there, and of course, I got to know those families because they were in our area. And There was one that he could have be falling down drunk, had handcuffs on in behind him, and he could have six or seven or eight officers on him, and he would still take them all down.
Oh, God.
So, you know, I mean, so sometimes, you know, people think, oh, look at all those officers. Sometimes people are like that. And
yeah.
There were times in the one department, a small department that I was with, but his file was probably like, he probably had that, was like that. That, I mean, it was a big file because he didn't care who you were as far as, you know, beating you up or hitting you or whatever. And that was just with our department, not counting the sheriff's department or anywhere else. But I could step between him and another, you know, and that's it. The young officers, this is East Texas, when you bow up, well, they've got to bow up more. And, you know, and that was, so I actually stepped between him and some of the younger officers. He never raised a hand to me. And finally, one day, it's like, you know, what's the deal? What is the difference between me? Because he didn't care if you were female or male, you know, it didn't matter. And on a uniform, you were just a uniform.
Yeah.
And he said that it was because I talked to him like we're talking right now.
And that's usually all it takes. Others,
you know, that's, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't, you know, all my aches have names attached to them on my body from through the years. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And, but. That's just kind of how I've always done it until you give me a reason not to be like that.
Yeah.
Then Mad Dog comes out because Mad Dog was a name the chief gave me. he would give me all the dangerous things.
Oh.
And the other guys were like, why can't I?
Oh.
And I just thought it was so cool. Because they were all younger than me and I'm getting all the good stuff. You know, if something needs some attention on something. And I enjoyed that part of it, too. You know, they want to go do the drugs. Like, you've got somebody that's ran and hid in a house or a mobile home that's totally full of boxes and it's 105 degrees out. And you don't want to go wading in after them. I'm going to watch this door in case he comes out. Y'all have fun.
Yep. Enjoy.
You know, I've already been there, done that, you know.
Yep.
Point.
Oh, understandable.
And I really enjoyed and I enjoyed the domestic terrorism because it's a psyche and understanding the psyche of some of the people that are extreme. It's they get indoctrinated just like if they were over, you know, in the Middle East. It's the same mindset. And trying, you know, and understanding that I went and did a week-long class down in San Antonio many years ago, and probably 4 days were just all on that type stuff. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, oh, I'm so bored. But it was fascinating to me.
I've taken up 2 hours of your time. So let the people know where they can reach you and where you're going to be at coming up.
Well, they can just Google Martha Hazard Decker and Martha Decker. You know, they can do that because I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and TikTok, even though they're trying to get rid of it. I'm still, in fact, I have, if you go far down my list, I have a lot of videos. There's a lot of Haunted Hill House videos
sweet.
In there with the EVPs and the reactions and things that are in there.
What conventions are you going to be at? You got a couple coming up, don't you?
Yeah, I have. Got the one in Little Rock in the fall. I have one in Oklahoma too. I think that's in November. I've got Oklahoma, Arkansas. Oh, and there's one that's, I believe it's going to be in, I think it's South Carolina too.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, it was the one that they called the, I think the Upstate Spirit Conference.
Oh, wow. So, well, I can't wait to see you. Well, thank you so much for giving me 2 hours of your time today. I really appreciate it. Well, y'all are going to have to stay tuned and wait for these books to come out. Keep an eye on her on the Facebook page, on the Book of Faces, or at TikTok, wherever you guys want to know. If y'all want to hear some EVPs, go to the TikTok one. Well, thank you so much. And until next time, I want to thank all of you guys for coming on and sticking around and listening in, even though you didn't have any questions. I asked all the questions. You guys are slacking. Till next time, I'll see you guys later. Bye.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.